Welcome in to the Pick a Side podcast. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki, a college football picks edition for week 11 in college. Season coming to an end, which we talked about Monday, is kind of a good feeling.
Championships are very close because I'm very intrigued by these. Like, every single one of the Power Conference championships is going to be interesting. And not just because of the playoff implications, but every single game I think is going to be pretty good.
What happened to your hair today?
It's bourbon and bacon.
Oh, so you got a little extra ready. Yeah. I was going to say, it looks good. There's something different about it today. Your hair looks good.
Watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, youtube.com/@pickasideESPN. I didn't even think about it because I'm going to go home and take care of it.
But I'm heading straight there to go support Carm.
Well, look at you. Yeah. All right, you got the bourbon and bacon hair ready to go. We got better matchups this weekend. I think we still got brands. And I was thinking about the way we've done it, picking the top games. I kind of just want to go through this board.
Yeah,
because
let's do it.
All the games are the way that they, like, there's only a couple genuine article top 25 matchups. But there's a lot of games that should have been good, power conference games that feel like you're going to want to watch them at least. And I had a harder time separating what we want to talk about from what we don't want to talk about. So do you mind if I actually start on Friday?
Go ahead. I have no weekday action, so go ahead.
I love this play. Opening line early in the week was UCF laying one at home, the bounce house against Houston.
I did see this.
This is now sitting Houston laying 1.5. I'm going to take the steam and run with it. This Willie Fritz team, you know, Houston, I've liked them. It was a bad loss last week to West Virginia. But for the most part this season, they have played good football. And Willie Fritz, I think, is going to get himself hired, but it's not like distraction territory yet. They have gone on the road and had big wins at Arizona State. Didn't play great against Texas Tech, but most teams in the Big 12 won't. The point I'm making, they went to Tempe and won. They've done this before. They did it a month ago. Losing at home to West Virginia, it only makes the rest of the games more must win. And the fact of the matter is, UCF is terrible. They're awful.
Yeah.
I think it's important that this number cross the bridge. UCF at home, I never liked to bet against, but having opened as a favorite and now it's going the other way, I'm going to ride the steam. I want Houston.
All right, go for it.
So I just wanted to offer that to you. Okay, let's get into it. Indiana, Penn State.
Have you seen how much this line's moved since the preseason look ahead line?
Yeah, it was Penn State laying 16.5 in the preseason, and now it's Indiana laying 14.5 today.
31-point swing.
The total's 48.5. Do you like anything here? Because there's a part of me that wants to lay it with Indiana. But I need you to tell me that that I'm not just doing too much. That it's not just stupid guy taking good team against bad team.
Can I give you an alternate here?
I would love that.
Alternate option. Because I think you're right, but we saw how that game played out against Ohio State last week, where it was a sluggish first half.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State actually stayed in the game. They ran the ball actually decently well in that first half. And then in the second half, Ohio State just put their foot on the gas.
Yes.
So maybe you wait for it and get it live after the first quarter or first half. Just kind of watch and see how it plays out.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that because
you might win your 14.5 anyway, so be my guest and play that. It's the side I would frankly lean. But just the way that last week played out, Penn State's defense showed up. You figure a lot of these guys are still trying to get to the NFL at this point, too. And it's not like this team is bereft of talent. There is still talent on the team. It's just the season's been a dumpster fire.
The other thing I wanted to bring up to you, over 48.5. I told you anytime Indiana's under 50, I think we're in a good place. Mm-hmm. They can score points in bunches. They scored 55 last week against Maryland. They cleared the total by themselves. I would lean over. It's just not a game I'm dying to bet, quite frankly.
But smaller number.
I wanted to. Yeah, it is. Isn't like it felt that way to me too. Mm-hmm. We can get to 48.5.
Yeah.
And the Ohio State Penn State game was another low one. I think it was 45.5 or 44.5. It went over.
Mm-hmm.
It took a lot of second half scoring, but it went over.
I don't think Penn State's going to get shut out either. I get that Cignetti likes to make his statements and stuff like that, but I still think that this team can run the football.
They did last week, yeah. Especially in the first half. I'll think about it. I'm not going to make it a finalized play, but I'll put it on the card for now. Okay. Over 48.5, Indiana-Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up for me, I don't know where you're at, BYU-Texas Tech.
Yep.
This is Fox Big Noon. This is the game of the week in all for all intents and purposes.
And this is where we get our lick back, Shay.
Thank God you said it. I don't know if people have noticed. Number 7 BYU is a 10-point road dog to number 8 Texas Tech. And this is where we get our lick back, because this isn't a regular play for me. This is love reminiscent it. Of Colorado, Oregon.
Love it.
If I lose to BYU here, I'm going to fucking... I might break my television.
I won't even be like... Obviously, like, you give credit to BYU for winning, but it's not, I'm not going to feel the way that I feel with A&M, where it's like, you know what? Credit where credit's due. Like,
yeah, I know.
They're just good. I will never feel that way this year.
I might break my television if I lose to BYU again this week, because Texas Tech's a quad bomb. This fucking fraud quarterback wearing a stupid number going up against that defensive line on the road in Lubbock. Texas Tech playing for the Big 12 title, basically, in this game. Same thing BYU. But when you see the number get set the way that it is, a top 10 matchup, two teams separated by a single ranking, both in the top 10, and one of the teams is favored by 10, you ride the favorite. This was Colorado, Oregon. There was a spot earlier in the year we played this. This was last week, if you had the balls, Utah-Cincinnati. Utah beat Cincy by a billion in a ranked matchup. You start seeing this. What the book is telling you is BYU is not a top 10 team. BYU might not even be a top 25 team. I'm all over Texas
yep.
Tech.
I love it. This defense is going to have to show up in this game. Because like 10 points is still a sizable amount to cover inside of a conference game. I get that it's like newer pieces to the conference too, but this is Texas Tech needs this game so much more than BYU. I shouldn't say it needs it so much more than BYU does, because the Big 12 is going to be a one bid league. But Texas Tech already has the loss on their ledger right now. Yep. BYU is an undefeated team, so the path for Texas Tech, if they lose this game, is that much more difficult to get to the Big 12 title game. Meanwhile, BYU effectively clinches a spot
yep.
if they win this game. So I'm with you. I like Texas Tech. I think they're just a better all-around team, especially defensively. And I think that you're going to see the best defense in the conference show up in this game and prove why they're the best defense in the conference.
Yeah, yeah, Bear Morton, good last week, too. I just, this Bear Bachmeyer stuff, I can't keep doing it every week. And they should have lost to Iowa State, and then Iowa State collapsed in incredible fashion every way that you could in that game.
Sneaky body clock game, too.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here where I just, like, I don't buy it. I haven't bought it with BYU all year. I don't buy it now. And you're on the road in Lubbock, and you're a 10-point dog. It tells me all I need to know about that fake little number next to your name.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all over Texas Tech.
Love it.
All right, Georgia-Mississippi State. I cede the floor to the senator from Illinois. It's all you.
I'm all over Mississippi State in this game. As a 9-point dog at home, they've been a covering machine inside of the SEC. And once again, this is a Georgia team that might be looking ahead a little bit, because what's on deck? Texas. So I think that this Mississippi State team, they've had the potency, especially offensively, to just pop some of these really good teams. And Georgia's been a gettable defense against some of these better offenses this year. I think Mississippi State just does enough to hang in the fight against this Georgia defense. It may be a higher scoring game, too. I don't have a play on the total per se, but if you made me pick the total, I'd probably go over the 57.5.
57.5. I agree with you on all the football stuff. Tell me why it's okay to bet the most public dog of the week.
Are they really?
Everybody's betting Mississippi State, man. It scared the shit out of me. It scared the total bejesus out of me when I looked at it. It's something like 80% of the bets making up 97% of the money. And Georgia's got 20% of the bets making up 1% of the money. And I'm like, fuck me. I really wanted to bet Mississippi State. Tell me why I can jump on this.
I just think
is it just the football of it and the public wins sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, like, just look at the way that Mississippi State has handled some of these top-tier teams. I mean, you damn near beat Texas, a team that both you and I feel like is playing some pretty good football right now and could make it into the playoff. You did a really good job against Tennessee. Your one lump was against A&M, and even that game you almost covered late. So you've hung in pretty much every single one of these games, and I just think that this Mississippi State offense is at a point now where they're rolling. And if you have an offense and you're being asked to cover a number of 9.5, I feel pretty good about that.
I would love to bet with you. I'm gonna stay away. I got scared.
Okay.
I got scared by the public side of it. It's two teams I like. I've liked Mississippi State all year. I've also liked Georgia all year. I will root for you to win. I would consider over 57.5. I think it's probably a bit of a shootout, and that's a more elevated number. Plus, it's a public under. Yeah, I'll find my action in the over.
Okay.
I'll root for points and for you to get your cover.
And to be honest, I don't think Mississippi State covers unless this game goes over.
Yeah, it's not a case of...
I think it's a correlated play with us.
Yeah, it's the rare, like, you can have the dog and the over because yes. The football, the process of getting there requires points scored by Mississippi State. All right, next game up for me, honestly, would be Oregon-Iowa.
Okay.
It's the same thought process, is it not, as Georgia and Mississippi State? You get Oregon going on the road. It's Kinnick.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa's a 6.5-point dog in a game with a 40.5-point total. And I immediately thought, I would like to bet Iowa. And then I looked, and Earth would also like to bet Iowa. 71% of the bets make up north of 95% of the money, if you believe the numbers that are out there. And I just got terrified. Because how am I going to fade Dante Moore and Oregon with the Iowa Hawkeyes, who may not be any good? I'm looking at an alternate play, and what I really want to do, I think, is bet an under 40.5.
Okay.
It's been a minute since I went the Iowa under route, but I like it this week against Oregon at home. And I do think, look, it's a super public over, 87% of the bets. So I like automatically. I'm on a Iowa under that nobody wants.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Kinnick is a house of horrors for good Big Ten teams. I do think there's a chance Iowa covers. I do think there's a chance Iowa wins. But the only way that they do that is if this is like a 17-10 game. I'm firing under 40.5.
All right. I actually really like the Oregon side of this game.
Okay.
Because, and there's one reason why. I think Dan Lanning feels extremely disrespected by what happened in the playoff rankings this week. His team being slotted 9 at 7-1, your only loss coming against the number 2 team in the country. This is a bulletin board game for Dan Lanning.
I love that.
I mean, you're going to see the little... what's this game on? CBS, they're going to go inside the locker room and show the pregame hype speech from Dan Lanning.
Yep.
He probably feels like his team right now should be ranked 5th or 6th. And they're slotted at 9th in the initial college football playoff rankings. That, to me, was my biggest gripe in the rankings in terms of like the teams that actually matter within the confines of the rankings. So sure. 1 through 12, plus the at-large for the group of 5. Like, I think this is one of those moments where we see Dan Lanning really motivate his team and be like, we're going out there and we're going to kick someone's ass. And Iowa, I'm sorry, but you're the victims of this. I think Oregon goes out and wins this game by 20+.
Fine. Can they just keep it under 40.5?
35-0.
Yeah, can we get 35 zip? Let's get the win. I think you're probably on the right side after I looked at the bet diff stuff, especially getting inside of a touchdown, getting inside the hook just inside of 7. I'll root for it, but I couldn't find a play on either side. And I started from a position of Iowa and then moved to a position of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I did miss a game, but it's so ratchet, I'll just save it for the end anyway.
Okay.
Do you know where I'm going? Do you have a guess?
So funny. And it's sandwiched in between.
It's so fucking gross.
Don't tell me it's Ole Miss and the Citadel.
It isn't. No. Okay. Jesus Christ. People, if you're not aware, Ole Miss is favored by 53.5 this weekend. All right, let's get to the SEC, the top 25 games.
Yes.
TAMU, Texas A&M going on the road to Mizzou. And Texas A&M is a 7-point favorite. Total's 47.5. Texas A&M's been a wagon this year. They're 8-0. They're number 3 in America. Mizzou, it's been another really nice season for Drink where they're not going to make the playoff. I'll let you kick it off because I don't have really a great read on the side or the total. I've done badly betting Texas A&M games this season outside of the Spite Store bet on them against Florida, and I feel like I have no read on Mizzou. So I'll let you take the lead on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mizzou in this game, getting a touchdown at home. You're coming off a bye week here. Drink can get the guys healthy, get them right. You've had that extra week of game plan going up against A&M, who's also coming off a bye in fairness. But I just think Mizzou has played a lot of these games really close. Like, you were able to play a close game at Bama. I get that it wasn't like Mizzou went through the back door to get that cover against get the push against Alabama. I think it was 3.5 in some spots, so you may have won on that game a couple of weeks ago at the beginning of October. And then last week against Vandy, like, he just kind of dragged him into a rock fight. The most impressive part to me of this entire season for Mizzou has been their defense. And I know that this is a team that has been predicated on offense over the last couple of years, but their defense has been most impressive to me because even the 27 points against Bama, we're seeing what Bama's doing to some of these teams that we thought had good defenses.
Yep.
Where they're going out and they're putting up 35, sometimes 40-plus points on some of those teams. And for Mizzou to hold them to 27, what they did against Vandy to slow down that offense too, I like the way the Mizzou's defense is playing right now. You get them at home, and I think you have a chance to outright win this game against A&M this week.
You've sold me on a different play, under 47.5. Yeah. I can't get a grip on a side. I hate laying a flat 7 or taking a flat 7. I'd like it, obviously, if it were 6.5. I'm going to tell you something I told you earlier in the year. If it were 6.5, I would like Mizzou, or A&M. If it were 7.5, I'd like Mizzou.
You want to get paid for that opinion? Bet A&M to win by exactly 7.
I guess true. I wonder what I would have made on the Iowa-Iowa State game. Probably not much because it's just a 3.
You're still getting significantly plus odds, though.
I'm going to go under 47.5. And part of it is, A&M's offense is good. Marcel Reed's good. But it's so ground-reliant. And when you go through the air, so many drives end in turnovers. I don't trust the offense to be consistent. You make a good point about Mizzou's defense. The fact that A&M's going out on the road, you might have to be in a different kind of a snap count here. I'm going to take the under 47.5. Your read on the game feels right. I just don't like taking a flat 7. So I find an alternate play. I'm going to put the next two together. These are two games I want to bet, both of them.
Okay.
And I have the same thought on both of them, unless we think there's something at play here. Auburn-Vandy and LSU-Bama.
Okay.
Do we get a fired coach bump in either game? Because if we don't, I'm betting the favorite in both.
Okay.
I love Bama laying 10.
Yes, I love Bama this week too. I'm with you on that one. You get Bama at home, the way that they've just... Because Bama has no margin for error either.
Right.
That's the best part about just kind of riding this Bama wave at this point. And... the way that they've been covering a lot of games lately, I get that they didn't against South Carolina, but you've been a pretty good covering team as of late. They cannot lose a game, or otherwise you're in jeopardy of missing out on the SEC title game and also in jeopardy. Because, if you're an SEC runner-up, two-loss team, you're getting in. Ifs, ands, or buts about it. This team, though, has to try to play. Because remember, the playoff format is different this year where you can get a bye. It doesn't matter where if you're an at-large team. The auto bids are not the buys this year. So I think with Alabama, they're playing for the buy, and the only way to do that is to put up some style points. I think this is one of those style point type of games. We saw what they did to Tennessee. We saw what they did to Vandy. That, I think, is the type of game you're going to see play out here where the defense shows up, just suffocates them, and then the offense rolls.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where, I just don't know that LSU's that talented.
The other thing, too, is I do not believe in the new coach bump in college sports anymore. I don't. It's more... I believe in it in the NFL still. I think that's still a real thing. In college, though, I think it's more of a, hey, we're getting our own shit in order. We're figuring out what's our next destination, because that's what the sport is. It's free agency 24/7.
Yeah.
Not just for players, but for coaches too.
Well, think about, like, Brian Kelly's not an untalented coach. Brian Kelly's he's a piece of shit person, but he's a very talented football coach. Whoever you replace him with is not going to be better than Brian Kelly as a head coach. And I think the reality is their defense just blows. They just are not very talented. Now you get Ty Simpson in Tuscaloosa at home at night against this LSU defense.
Still a rivalry.
Yeah, of course, but that's the part that scares me, is it is still a rivalry. It is kids that still know about this game. And maybe LSU players are feeling a little more free because, like I just said, Brian Kelly, piece of shit. It's not like players are coming out to defend him.
Yeah.
That's the part that scares me a little bit about it, but at the same time, Alabama's coming off a bye. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is in a position where he's going to let him overlook anybody. They kind of had their look-ahead spot pre-bye against South Carolina, and they survived it. So I just felt like seeing the 10, and the other really important thing is everybody's betting LSU.
All right.
You get a non-public Bama side. Yeah, it just makes me feel a little more comfortable taking it. The Vandy thing's different. I do feel like Hugh Freeze is a bad enough guy. You might have gotten a bump off of getting him out of there. And Vandy's the more publicly bet side. Now, I'm not saying I'm racing to bet Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
But if I like a dog in a game like this, I'm ripping pages out of your playbook. I think it's an under 45.5 play.
You're Mr. Total this week.
I am.
It's funny because I didn't take a single total this week. I'm all sides.
There were not sides that I really loved outside of Texas Tech and Bama. And there were totals that I found that I did. So that's just kind of where I landed on everything.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I think I'm going to go under 45.5. I wanted to bet Vandy. I don't like taking the public side, but there's something weird about Vandy's offense where they can sputter like the first half against Texas so much.
The Mizzou game was disgusting.
Yeah, it was terrible. And they have a really difficult time getting the air game going against power conference defenses. This Auburn defense, whatever you think of Auburn as a football team, they didn't fire Hugh Freeze because the defense was no good. They fired Hugh Freeze because they can't score in a whorehouse, which plays to my advantage here. You have a terrible quarterback in Jackson Arnold. You have an elite defense. Yes, you're on the road. I know your elite defense travels. I also know your terrible quarterback travels. And Vandy can't throw the ball against anybody good. So for me, under 45.5 became a play.
Yeah, kind of like that. All right, what else you got?
I'm all good except for my absolute rat shit play.
I got three
middle
others.
Of the day.
Okay, I've got kind of a gross one middle of the day too. Where are you going?
Rutgers, Maryland.
Same.
Let's go. Oh, fuck.
Please tell me we're on the same side here.
It's a loser leaves town match. And I think one guy is just way closer to getting his number called than the other and might just want to rip the Band-Aid off. Also, all of the fun about finding, like, you had the rumors about Loxley getting clipped and then the fake tweet about Loxley getting clipped where suddenly it's a race for the quarterback. What's it, Washington?
Malik Washington, yeah.
It's a race for the quarterback in the portal. And then, oh, whoops. Actually, it wasn't a real tweet. Mike Loxley still has his job. I'm going to fade that hard. I really like Rutgers in this spot.
Okay,
getting a point
I'm
and
on
half.
The other side for dueling rationale here. I think Loxley sees that, like,
is he doing the
rumors? And he's like,
doing
shit,
the Dave Aranda trick.
My ass is really up against it this week.
He's going to do the Dave Aranda win out trick.
Yep.
After the firing,
I just think Maryland's the much better team too.
I do.
There's
too.
Been moments where I've really liked them. They've been able to run the football a little bit this year too.
Isn't the point spread a little fucked up? At just sitting there at a point and a half with a bad Shiano Rutgers team. Earth's betting Maryland.
Is Earth betting Maryland?
Yes, 77% of the bets.
If you ride the steam, though, like Maryland opened in this game as a 3.5-point dog.
Was that an open, or was that a
I can't imagine they're making
open.
A preseason line for Maryland Rutgers.
You never know.
I think you do know on this one.
Oh, yeah, wow. 3.5-point dog. Wow.
You're effectively picking them to win.
So they're riding the number. But boy, I mean, you start moving point spreads 4 points. Fuck, do I just take this off the board entirely?
Listen, I'm playing Maryland. You do you. I'm not wavering off of my position here.
Take it away.
You're not pulling me off the block.
I'm going to take Rutgers off my board myself. Okay. You can do whatever you want to do with it. But yeah, I'm going to take Rutgers off
my board. I think Loxley's feeling the heat this week.
I think his number might get called, man. If they lose.
But if they lose, yeah, certainly could.
That's why I built it the way I did. Shiano might get clipped.
Rutgers will not fire a coach in season.
Of course not.
You think Rutgers wants to dive into this pool,
no.
too? Of the coaching carousel, no chance.
I'm trying to figure out how Michigan State has kept Jonathan Smith employed throughout the bye week. Okay, go ahead. Wow, I have a lot of totals. Go ahead.
All right, I got a Big Ten game, a late night Big Ten game.
Yuck.
UCLA and Nebraska.
Yuck.
Dylan Raiola done for the year, and UCLA is a 1.5-point favorite. I like the Bruins in this game. I think that UCLA, I'm not going to ding you points for getting your head taken off by Indiana on the road. Like, I just can't do that. You had 1-3 straight against what I think is probably better teams than you, but you found ways to win. You'd probably argue Michigan State's not a better team, but that's neither here nor there. Penn State, whatever you thought of Penn State and whatever you've thought of Penn State all year long, is a better team than UCLA.
Yep.
Maryland is a better team than UCLA, and you have found ways to win those games. This team is just rolling with a little momentum here. You're coming off of a bye week, and I think UCLA, probably the staff itself, probably feels pretty good that they might have a chance to stay. Like, this is now audition stuff for them.
That's a fair point.
So I think that they've got a real chance to go out and beat a Nebraska team, even without Dylan Raiola. The records look funky in terms of the matchup, but the point spread to me is what really sticks out. You're effectively picking UCLA to outright win the game with a 1.5-point spread, and I like them a lot. Late night game.
I just can't bring myself to care about Nebraska, UCLA. Good luck for you.
There you go. And then we've got Jake Santos in the building here. And we are taking Hawaii at home on the island, 7-point dog. I keep feeding you the statistic. I'm going to continue to play it too. They are now 6 for their last 6 in covering at home on the island as a dog. 6-0. I'm just going to keep riding it. And this is another one of those spots where if you're giving me a full touchdown on it, I love it even more.
The one fear I would have is
San Diego State is a good team.
Yeah, San Diego State rocks. San Diego State
also isn't like, they're a 6-3 football team.
San Diego State is sneaky, maybe going to get the Group of Five playoff spot.
Yeah,
and San Diego State also is the shortest travel distance to Hawaii. What's the flight from San Diego to Hawaii? Can't be more than 3.5 hours.
4 hours is what Jake is saying.
Fucks up the travel the absolute least, but that is still like you are going across 3 time zones. It's like traveling from New York to Seattle. Like, it's
probably shorter, actually.
A little bit shorter, but you get my point. Like, you're still going a sizable distance. I'll tell you. It's hit every time.
It's a blind ride. I'm not going to act like I've got some in-depth San Diego State or Hawaii metrics I'm going to feed you here for this game, but I'm just going to ride this trend that we have kind of sniffed out at the beginning of the season. And it's been a very successful one this year.
I think it'd be fun if Hawaii won the game and fucked up the playoff picture.
How awesome would that be? A little 10 o'clock action on Spectrum Sports, just ruining the playoff picture for the Group of Five.
Look at what they took from us.
Yeah.
Look at what they took from us.
Yep.
I'm showing him the Clemson-Florida State game this weekend. That means nothing for anybody.
You know what's funny is the look-ahead line from the preseason was a 12-point game, and now it's a 1.5-point spread.
And it's disgusting. It's just a hideous game.
To be
honest. If you had told me that Clemson, Florida State was going to be a 1.5-point spread
on ACC preseason, Network.
Oh, Jesus, I didn't even realize that.
It's a 6 o'clock game.
If you had just told me in a vacuum it'd be a 1.5-point spread preseason, I would have said, damn, Florida State's good.
Yeah. Especially after week one, too, where Florida State goes out and wins against Bama to open the season, we would have been like, all right, this is like marquee level stuff for that week. Nope. Far from it.
I can't believe what Dabo Sweeney took from us. All right. Anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. I'll recap my card.
Anything Thursday night football for you?
No, dude. All right. Are you out of your mind?
I'm the same.
Raiders and Broncos?
Nothing. I got nothing.
All right. I'll recap the card for myself. Houston laying 1.5 on Friday night at the Bounce House at UCF. And then we're dusting off the totals. Over 57.5 in Georgia, Mississippi State. Texas Tech laying 10. That is a quad bomb. Very important. Four-unit play. Over 48.5 Indiana, Penn State. Under 47.5 Texas A&M, Mizzou. Under 40.5 Oregon at Iowa. Under 45.5 Auburn at Vandy. Bama laying 10. That's the card.
All right. For me, I'm with you on Texas Tech. Not a quad bomb, but I do love Texas Tech this week as a 10-point favorite. Mississippi State and the 9 against Georgia. I like Maryland as a very short 1.5-point favorite against Rutgers. It's a bulletin board game. I love Dan Lanning and the Ducks as a 6.5-point favorite on the road against Iowa. I'm going to take Mizzou as the flat touchdown underdog against A&M. Bama as a 10-point favorite. UCLA and the 1.5. And then Hawaii on the island as a 7-point dog.
That'll do it for us. A college picks edition of the Pick Aside podcast. Back again tomorrow with an NFL picks edition for NFL Week 10. We'll pick it all tomorrow. That episode will be right here wherever you get your podcasts or available on YouTube. YouTube.com/@ESPN/@PickAsideESPN. For Tyler Aki, I'm Shane Orling. It's the Pick Aside podcast.